Joining us, we have Brian Eason, a reporter for the Denver Post, and Peter Marcus with ColoradoPolitics.com. This is arguably the biggest bill of this session, and lawmakers have been discussing it behind the scenes for months, working on negotiations. Finally, it's here, it's public, it went through its first committee hearing. It calls for a sales tax increase that will be a little more than a half penny. Brian, you covered this lengthy hearing where a lot of people weighed in. What stood out to you?
Well, I think the biggest thing was just the sheer amount of interest in this topic. I mean, you had folks from cities, counties, rural, urban areas, business groups, small businesses, ski resorts, environmental groups. I mean, just the sheer amount of interest in this topic was kind of overwhelming. One thing that was interesting was there was not a lot of organized conservative opposition at this hearing, and we kind of heard quite a bit going into this about how there's going to be a lot of pushback against any form of tax increase to pay for this proposal.
People had a lot of suggestions, but they still supported the overall concept. I heard people wanting to tweak how much is going to transit, how much is going to local communities. They still liked the idea of getting more money for roads. Peter, did that surprise you as well, that we didn't have this strong force against it?
Yeah, I mean, I think what you're going to see is the fights will continue, though. The big issues right now is, of course, just how much money CDOT's going to get. They actually already upped it from $300 million to $375 million. But some folks don't feel like it should be a set number. You know, they feel like it should be a percentage, you know, of the sales tax increase or of the revenue, because over two decades, you know, a set financial figure might not hold steady as well as a percentage would, you know, as inflation and population grows and things like that. And then the other major, major issue that you're going to see is identifying these projects. The sponsors say that don't worry about that. You know, when the voter guide comes out, we're going to have a list in there and voters will know exactly what they're paying for. But some supporters of the bill and others feel like that what you really need to do to convince voters of this is write that list into the bill itself. You know, if you're going to support this bill and you're going to sell it to voters, then they should know right away. Yeah, maybe there wasn't all that much opposition in reality during the hearing itself, but I think that there's a long road ahead.
There are fiscal conservatives who don't support tax increases at all. But beyond that, there seems to be some hesitancy, even though you have the business community saying we need this for economic development, to attract workers, to move goods, to bring tourists here. But Brian, why do we still have a lot of Republican resistance?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing is getting the bill to a place where Republicans feel like it matches their priorities. So a lot of these rural communities, maybe transit's not a big priority for them. So seeing a lot of the money go towards that is going to be a tough sell for a lot of them. You saw it on Tuesday, all sorts of amendments. I think there were something like 47 amendments actually introduced. They only actually debated about a dozen of them. Republicans already got one concession, and that was a further reduction in the faster fees. It eliminated late penalties for vehicle registrations. And I think you're going to see a lot more of that, Republicans trying to tweak the bill here and there.
I'm not sure that this is going to be the end-all, be-all bill either. There are other supplemental funding type legislation out there addressing budget issues. There's also a competing ballot initiative that has been proposed to address transportation funding with existing revenue, not involving a tax increase. So, you know, we'll see what happens with this, and we'll see if some of those other efforts kind of get rolled into this whole package.
Thanks, Peter Marcus with ColoradoPolitics.com and Brian Eason with the Denver Post. I'm Benta Berkland, and this is Capital Conversation.